Right, but I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 6. And it says this from verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. That's very, isn't that intimidating? You who are spiritual. Can I just say that spiritual people are people who know Jesus. It's nothing special. We're all the same. But as believers, we can restore and help each other. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I do hate big heads. I can't stand it when somebody takes himself too seriously and thinks that they're something that they're not, yeah? Because it's not like that in the kingdom. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In verse 9, I've quoted this verse many, many times, and it says this: let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, that verse throughout my life, throughout a lot of my time, has been like a constant reminder, like a point of reference to my life, because believe it or not, I have been tempted to give up. I really have. Do you remember, who remembers Paul McCartney and Wings? Who doesn't know what on earth I'm talking about? All right, you've heard of Paul McCartney, everyone, it doesn't matter. Well, there was a song called I've Had Enough. I can't put up with any more. Oh, no. Do you remember that? No. Well, not even you, Marie. Oh. And in my moments of challenge and weakness, I remember walking out of a situation and I started singing, I've had enough, I can't put up with any more. You know, that's not a song of the kingdom, is it? The kingdom song, the Christian song is this, that he will never leave nor forsake me. He is faithful. The things that we sing here. But this has been, and by the grace of God, I didn't give up, you might have noticed. But it is always a temptation. Right. Look at the clock. I'm going to be as quick as I possibly can be, okay? First of all, we have things to do. Do not become weary in doing good. In the reading, there's an emphasis and encouragement to the church to do right things which bless and benefit others, and to conduct ourselves in the right way. Do you know, a Christian, a believer in Jesus, is a disciple of Jesus and should do what Jesus did. I know we all get it wrong sometimes. I know in this heat you might have a bit of road rage and you might call people things under your breath that, you know, perhaps isn't edifying. But the bottom line is this, that we are called to serve and to be a blessing to people. Acceptance by Jesus and being a Christian is not about keeping rules and doing enough things to be good enough. A lady said to me once, I don't think I should be baptized. I said, why not? I said, well, I don't think I'm good enough. Oh, okay. I said, well, I tell you what, you go away and sort yourself out. When you're good enough, come back to me and we'll sort it out. I was lying, Aki, you see. I was just sort of making the point. We'll never be good enough to be good enough for God. But it's the grace and the love of Jesus that it's the things that Jesus did in dying for our sins. That's what makes us good enough when we ask him to forgive us and we call upon his grace. So we can do umpteen things. There's loads of things that we can do, but we will never do enough to be accepted by God we'll never do it because we just can't. But you see, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which conveniently is over the next page, it says this. I'll read it verse 8. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. I just said that. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, first thing I say is this. We are God's workmanship. He made us. And who you are is a result of what God made you. And more important than that, if you've given your life to Jesus, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I tell you, there's no influencer on the internet. There's no bully at work or at school that can tell you that you should be something different to what you are, because our identity comes from Christ when we give our lives to him. We are his workmanship because of his grace and his life that lives within us. Isn't that great? You are a product of the grace of God. But it goes on to say, we are created in Christ, his workmanship, to do good works. In other words, it's not a case of, oh, I'm forgiven, now I'm going to heaven. He has a job for every one of us. He has something that we are called to do, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He doesn't make it up as he goes along. God is a planner, all right? There's a lot of doing going on in this, okay? You know, in Matthew 25, you know, there's the parable of the talents. The master gave 5, 2, and 1 coins to his servants, and two of them were faithful, and one of them wasn't. And when he came back, he said to the ones that did the job, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well considered. He didn't say, you know, thank you for thinking that was a good idea. He said, well done. There's a whole sermon there. Well done. And he'd done it well, because they were good and they were faithful servants, but it involved doing and being faithful with what God gave them as his workmanship to do and outwork their purposes. They gave them resources. And then there's that story of the two sons, isn't there? In Matthew something else. In Matthew 21, I think it is. Matthew 20, doesn't matter. 21, yeah. There were two sons, and their father said to the first one, go to the field and work today, please. And he said, Dad, I will, but he didn't. He said what his dad wanted to hear. The other son, he went to him and said, why don't you go to work in the field today? He says, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to wash my hair. I'm on my game, what's it, thingy. But he did. And Jesus said, who was the righteous one? Who was the one that did what his father? I tell you what. Obedience out of relationship to his father caused him to go into the field and do what his father wanted him to do. And it's out of relationship with Jesus that we are called to live our lives, achieve things, do things for God in our lives. And it doesn't matter how inadequate you feel you are, God has got something for every one of us to do that he has prepared in advance for us. He's created a vacancy for you to fill and a goal for you to achieve and leave in your life as a legacy. James chapter 2, it says, faith by itself, is if it's not accompanied by works and actions, is dead. And that's common sense, really. You know, it's no good saying to somebody who's thirsty, oh, I'll pray that your thirst gets quenched. Now give them some water, you know what I'm saying? Do things. God wants us as his children to know that we belong to him, that that's our identity, and it's from that identity that we're called to do things that he has planned for us to do. So what do we do? It's right, you saying, well, do things for God. What am I going to do for God? Well, yeah, it's a good question, really. Firstly, I think it's an attitude. Be intentional about saying to the Lord in the morning, start of the day, Lord, you know I've got to go work, I've got to do this, I've got to da 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 da. But what do you want from me today? Whatever else you do or don't pray, why don't you pray, Lord, what is it that you have, what work, what job, what have you got and planned in advance for me to do today? Who do you want me to meet up with? Who do you want me to bless? What do you want me to do? And you might have absolutely no idea, but I tell you something, it is scary, but in a good way, that when you actually take the trouble to say to God, Lord, I want you to guide my footsteps because I want to be available to you. In Romans 6, you offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. You know, giving somebody a hand up, giving somebody, I don't know, blessing, I don't know, it could be anything. But you will be amazed that God opens doors of opportunity for you to do something in the name of Jesus. Talks in the Bible about people see their good works and glorify to God in heaven. And that's what it's about. So be intentional about that. And there's some general things in that reading that I brought to you there. It's about serving others. In chapter 6, verse 1, with great love, restore, help those who make mistakes. Do you know, the church fellowship is far more valuable than we can ever really know. We need one another very, very much. In fact, I've always said this, that you can never, ever reach your potential in God unless you are committed to a local church. And one of the things the Bible says is that you've got to love God and love others. We go and we serve one another. I tell you something, if we don't fellowship with other people, we can't serve. We can't bless each other, you know? Bob and Elaine aren't blessing me today. Well, they always bless me, but they can't do it today because they're on holiday. Bless them, they deserve that. But there's two empty chairs that they would normally be then in, and it goes for Jenny and Richard as well, and others that are away. But we're here to bless one another and serve one another. You know, sometimes we we make mistakes. And I'm so glad that there are people who are there to encourage us and help us. We all need that, whoever we are. Verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 10, do good to all. And it says, especially the household of believers. And that doesn't mean that we just bless each other and we're an interest group. What we actually do is we bless one another, help one another, and encourage each other to be effective out in that world. Because you won't get an awful lot of encouragement to live your Christian life outside. This is the center, and this is where we go from, our fellowship together. You know, doing what we can, just normal things, and showing faithfulness will then lead to God leading you to do stuff that you've got no idea from. Do you think, you know, I mean, even Jesus grew in stature. Even Jesus, the Son of God, grew to find out who he was and what his purpose was. And if we're, there's a song that they sing at Andrew's Church in Manchester. If you're faithful with the small things, he's faithful with the big stuff. So be faithful. Do what you can. Commit your life to the Lord. But it's also about attending to ourselves. Verse 1, watch yourself. Watch yourself, mate. Watch it. Don't be a big head. Verse 3. You know, I'm sad, I can say this because I've been a church leader for a long time, but there's some behavior of church leaders that has astounded me. People put themselves on a pedestal. I'm a church leader. I mean, I don't get people revering me and kissing my feet, do I? Never, it's never happened. It never will. If you kiss my feet, you'd die. It passed up at the end. But you see, there is this kind of this thing about self-importance. You know what? We are servants. We're the sons and daughters of the living God. And every single one of us, we've all got a job to do. We're all equal. We all do different things, but there's no thing that's more important than the other. The body has got different parts that all do what they do. None is more important than the other because it all works together. It all works together. We are called to not take ourselves too seriously. The fruit of the Spirit precedes the reading I brought to you then, and how we should live our Christian lives in chapter 5. And then it says in verse 4, test your own actions. Do you know, we can actually do things, but in the wrong motive. We can do things and leave God out of it, which is why we need to know Jesus and make him the center of our life, so that then the things that we do come out from the person that we are in Christ. I'm trying to keep this brief because I want you to still talk to me at the end of this, all right? So test your action, but then, last of all, keep doing it. And this is where it comes to that verse that I was reading to you earlier. Don't become weary in doing good. It's likened to sowing a seed. When you sow, that's an exciting. When you sow seed, I'm sure if you're a gardener or any gardeners here, no farmers, are they? Can't somebody? Yeah, you're a gardener. Yeah, but when you sow a seed, it's quite exciting, isn't it? Because you've got a vision of what's going to grow. You know, want some chrysanthemums out of this. Is that right? Do you grow chrysanthemums from seeds? No. All right, you don't. Yeah. Okay. Hence to say, I'm not a gardener, but you get my gist. When you sow with a vision of what it's going to be, and that's an exciting time, the sowing time. And if God has spoken in your life and said, look, I've got a job for you, this is going to happen in your life, that's exciting. Then there's the reaping time, reaping a harvest. That's even more exciting, because the fulfillment of what you did here, sowing, is realized by what you're reaping now. That seed time worked. The sowing time, the harvest time, great. But the trouble is, in the middle is the meantime. And the meantime can be jolly, jolly hard, and that's when you can start singing Paul McCartney songs where you want to give up because you can't put up with any more. You know what? It says in the Bible, run with patience and perseverance the race that's before you. The kind of race that's referring to was not a sprint, it was a marathon. And it's putting one step in front of the other. And if you don't give up, the Bible says and promises us that you will reap a harvest. Now, I'm going to confess something now that I did. I don't know. Some of you might know it. But I had two friends. Only two. No, I just... And sadly, they both passed away now. One was called Keith and the other one was called Jeff. Bless them. They were good mates of mine, both church leaders, and we used to meet every month, and we did it for about 30-odd years. Keith died in 2011. Jeff died, last year? And I miss them really bad. But there's something in me that's... My nature is one that goes in for the long haul, right? Whether it's a sensible thing or not. And basically this, Andrew, my son, had a mate at school, and it was when he was a teenager, and he got that grunting phrase, and he couldn't be seen with his dad in front of his friends, like, you know what I mean? And so I tried to embarrass him in front of his friends, and I said to him once, and there was one particularly mate he had that he wanted to impress, I think. I won't use his name because you might trace him. And I said to him, I said, if you don't do that, mate, I'm going to give you a hug in front of Fred Bloggs. And he said, well, I'll give you a hug in front of Keith. Of course, I don't care. And from that silly little thing came this idea. Every Christmas, I used to buy two Christmas cards, and I used to write to Keith from Andrew's school friend and send him this Christmas card. And Andrew used to write, the other way around. I used to write from Keith to Andrew's school friend, and Andrew used to write, and I'm getting this wrong. Ooh! You see why I retired, can't you? X.
His name's Stephen. No
one knows Stephen. Yeah, from Stephen. From Keith. From Keith. Right? Now, we used to do that every year. Now, that's the thing. Don't encourage me, all right? Can I just say, it only stopped because Keith passed away. But it was 15 years we did that. 15 years. And they used to get Christmas cards from each other, and they didn't know who they were. And I used to go around to Keith's house at Christmas just so I could look on the wall and see the card that was on the wall. For 15 years we did this. It was brilliant. And I told his wife afterwards at the right time, after he got, and she said, "That was you? You toad! We used to sit down every year and try and work out who this fellow was." And we thought, "I know, it was somebody that you must have helped sometime. He was really grateful. So he sent you a Christmas card. It's so good." Oh, I told you this with Judith not here because you get sick and tired of this story. So anyway, but for 15 years we did that. And I remember being on the M25 in a car as a passenger with Keith driving. And it was coming up to Christmas, and I said, "Hey, Keith," I said, "oh, Christmas, not long." He said, no, I said, "oh, dear, there's some silly things that go on at Christmas." And cards, Christmas cards, you know, you don't see someone from one year to the next, and they just get a card, and it says, "Happy Christmas from blah, blah." And he said, "yeah," he said, "I get this card every year from this guy, I haven't a clue who he is." And I'm looking at the hard shoulder, biting my lip so hard it nearly bled. Now, that tells you something. It tells you a lot about me, actually, doesn't it? It tells you. But one of the things it tells me is that I'm a guy that's in it for the long haul. I didn't just give up. And every year it was funnier because it was another year. Thank you for explaining it properly, by the way. Yeah, I got that right round my neck. But, you know, in the kingdom, it's even more important that we don't give up. We keep going. That we don't give up. Don't become weary in doing what's right. That was a load of nonsense, and yet I did it. But by the grace of God, God has helped me to keep going, even when I wanted to give up. And he'll do that for you as well. It's a process that takes the shine off things sometimes. Sometimes we lose heart. Sometimes we get weary. And there are reasons like that. Do you know, sometimes people can disappoint you. How many people have gone away from God because people have hurt them? It's true. And there's no excuse for people hurting other people. But actually, it's not about other people. It's not about me. It's about me serving Jesus. And if I let myself get railroaded off by disappointment or by hurt or by criticism or even by persecution, I'm not being faithful to the one who called me. Do you know, we've got Alpha at Monday Moments. Monday Moments is seeing a lot of people come, yeah? We're seeing people come from the community. And now we're going to be running this Alpha course, and our prayer is that we will see people come to Jesus from that. That's the whole point of everything we do. It's to see people come to God, yeah? Monday Moments used to be Sunrise, and before that it was what, Selah, which is a word that means have a break, isn't it, basically? And yeah, and Emily started Selah, and I can't remember how many months it was. How many months was it? But every week she came here, she set the place out with tables just like it is now. I used to come along, and that was it. Nobody. Nobody. So she did it again next week. Nobody. So I thought I better stop coming. The next week, it was low, it was crowded. No, it wasn't. But for weeks and weeks, and then one lady, bless her, came and sat and read a magazine one week. Do you remember that? I was just, yeah, why don't she sat over there and read a magazine? I thought, you poor lady, you must think this is some weird house. You know, you're coming in here to read a magazine, you might as well do it at home. But week by week, Emily was faithful. She did not give up. And you now are reaping a harvest, even though you're not here, because you didn't give up. Isn't that something worth honoring? Well done. And that's good. And that is the way it works. And I'll tell you something. Our church, you know, we did lose people during the pandemic. I think every church lost people during the pandemic. But by the grace of God, we are going to grow. We're going to make an impact on our community, because if we keep doing the right things and doing good and being faithful and watching our attitudes and watching our lives and being faithful to one another and to Jesus, we will reap a harvest, but we must not give up and we've got to be committed to it. Do you agree? Good. I know it's hot, but that was a very enthusiastic nod. Thank you for that. That was, yeah, Jesus said, remain in my love and bear much fruit. Acts 13, continue in the grace of God. Persistence, daily, and persist in doing good. Romans 2, 7. And you know, the Apostle Paul did a lot in his life. But the reason he did it, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he said, it's the love of Jesus that compels me. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we love one another. That's why we serve one another. That's why we're here. That's why we live. For me to live, Paul said, is Christ. To die is gain. In Philippians 1:6, it says this, that he is faithful. He who began a good work in you is faithful. And he, I'm going to read it actually, instead of quoting it badly. See what it really says. Philippians 1:6, it says this. Yes. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. As we close, I want to say to you this, that God might want to start something in your life today. It might be a day of sowing. It might be a day of readjusting and saying, Lord, I've been getting a bit weary with stuff. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. But God can say to you this morning, you know, hey, so just stand up, brush yourself down, I'm with you. Let's move on. Let's not become weary of doing what's right. I just want to pray for strength and encouragement for anyone who needs it this morning. So let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment, shall we? Father God, I thank you that you are a faithful God, and you only call us, as your servants, you call us to do what you did, and that is to be faithful and committed to you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray now that if there's anyone here who wants to, as it were, make a new start in their lives, I pray that, Lord, you would speak into their lives right now. It could be that you want to give your life to Jesus. Never done that before, maybe. It could be that you want to kind of say to the Lord, Lord, I recognize that I need to make a fresh start. I need a new anointing on my life. Whatever that is, I want to pray right here from right here and now for you that God will do that in your life. Now, while we're just bowed before the Lord, first of all, if that's you, if you want to make some sort of fresh start, if God is speaking to you, not what Dave Smith said, but what God is saying to you, We prayed for the Holy Spirit to come in the very beginning of this meeting, and I believe he's here now. But if that's you, and that's something, a fresh commitment that you want to make, this is between you and God. But so it's not, it doesn't matter about anybody else, but I'd really appreciate, can you just signify that that's what you want to do? Just raise your hand, put it down. I'm not going to call you out or anything. I'm just going to pray for those who raise their hand right now. And it could be anything, all right? Anybody? Jesus' name. I'm not going to spin this out, but I do want to give you an opportunity to make a firm response. Lord, forgive me for being weary. Help me to get back on the road again. Help me to know you in a way that I've never known you before. Jesus, I just pray that for each one of us right now. In the name of Jesus, may we know you and be faithful to you and serve you in Jesus' name. And is there anybody, just as I close, and you just need a bit of strength and encouragement right now? It could be about anything. Could you just raise your hand? Yeah, thank you. Someone else. Whatever it is. I'm going to pray for you anyway, Kirsty, because you need some strength and encouragement right now, don't you? Lord, I pray that, you saw the response there, and I pray that, Lord, whatever is behind the raising of that hand, and in Kirsty and Dave's situation as well, will you just intervene? Will you just show them that you are there? That your hand is upon them in Jesus' name. Whatever the circumstances are represented. And for the other one who raised the hand, Lord, will you just encourage and strengthen them in Jesus' name? Amen.